Welcome to Moving Through Time, an audio tour produced by the Heritage Council of Victoria in conjunction with the State of Design Festival. In this tour, we'll be visiting four award-winning adaptive reuse buildings. Each has been transformed from its original 19th century industrial or mercantile function to a use much more fitting to the demands and pleasures of life in the 21st century. Along the way, we'll hear from four of our best architects, each representing a firm responsible for one of the transformations. The tour will begin at Prince's Walk Vaults, and we'll hear from Mark Healy of Six Degrees Architects about the project that transformed the vaults and brought us Riverland Bar. From here, we walk along the river to Signal, a disused signal box between Flinders Street Station and the river, which has become an art studio for young people, thanks to the City of Melbourne. We'll hear from Chelsea Skanes for the City of Melbourne about that project. We keep following the river to the Immigration Museum on Flinders Street, between Market and William Streets. This is Melbourne's old customs house, where goods from the nearby docks came into the new colony. Here we'll hear from Daryl Jackson, Principal Director of Jackson Architecture. And finally, we head towards the Docklands, to Goods Shed North, just past where Collins Street crosses over Wurundjeri Way. This former goods shed is now home to the Building Commission and Vic Urban, and its award-winning redevelopment was led by architect Ellenberg Fraser. We'll be speaking to Callum Fraser. We hope you enjoy the walk. Here we are at Prince's Walk Vaults Federation Wharf. Now home to architects, Riverland Bar and various ferry operators, the vaults were originally constructed in 1889. Mark Healy of Six Degrees Architects has his office here and was responsible for the vaults transformation.
Hi, I'm Mark Healy. I'm one of the directors of Six Degrees Architects, and we were the architects responsible for the revitalisation of the Prince's Walk Vaults, or the precinct as we call it. The project started about just before the Commonwealth Games were held in Melbourne. We were approached by Federation Square by Fiona Whitworth came and had a chat to us. She was familiar with the precinct work we'd done at the City Square and said, would you like to come and have a look at these old vaults? And personally, I'd never even been down here. So it was a real surprise that there was this little gem of riverfront kind of sitting right under our noses. I think the gas and fuel buildings in the past had sort of hidden it pretty well. You know, when I came down here on a wintry Melbourne morning, it was, you know, pretty scary. It was not a happy place, not happy people hanging around. It was all boarded up, corrugated iron, timber, and just kind of falling apart. So it didn't have much to offer. But if you squinted a bit, I thought it was fantastic. In terms of the design approach of what we've put down here, it's very much these big bluestone vaults they're a really powerful, simple structure. So it was more about cleaning all the graffiti and pipes and conduits off the building and kind of letting it breathe a bit. So our work was kind of quite subdued. It's just a delicate sort of steel frame window treatment, and the vaults themselves, we just chemically stripped back all the paint off them and just showed the beautiful brickwork. They used to, when it was first built, they were in groups of three. There's these little clusters. There's 20 vaults in the whole precinct, but they were built as little interconnected groups of three. But over time, people just kept knocking holes in the walls until the entire group of vaults became, you know, joined like a giant submarine. And it was interesting, a lot of discussions with Heritage Vic about what to do. Should we re-brick up these openings? Should we try and turn it back into what it was? The kind of compromise was to clean it back as much as possible to show them as they were, but not to rebuild and re-brick and try and turn back the clock. So it was about trying to use the vaults in the state they were in while still being sensitive to the actual building fabric. If you come down the lift and the third vault walking towards Birrarung Ma, you might see some strange tiling on the inside of that vault. It's a bit chipped and broken. That vault used to actually be the original public toilets for this area. And so rather than strip everything back, we thought we'd leave a bit of that clue. Someone sitting out having a drink, pondering what these cracked tiles are. Well, now you know. They are part of the old toilets. We subsequently built new toilets into the space. The architecture should sort of sit back from the vaults and not compete with them. So that's why the deck areas immediately out the front are these simple timber, steel, bit of stainless steel, glass, quite a subdued palette, because there's no way, and you wouldn't want to really compete with these beautiful bluestone structures. They're large cut block. They're not smoothly finished, except around the window arches. You know, Melbourne has this fantastic basalt. It's our stone, it's bluestone. And this is the most sort of powerful chunk of it around, really. The bridge and the vaults put together. It also just offers a fantastic outlook to the river from all the vaults. I think it needed to work on a design level with the deck structures, because in winter the height of the bluestone wall does block out a fair bit of sunlight. We're on the north side, so we're facing south. So it was important. The decks, just by hanging them out a bit on the riverbank, you pick up enough sunlight that it kind of keeps you warm and activates that edge. Yeah, and it gives you that kind of little bit of sense of hovering over the river. Sort of nice, a bit more of a connection.
Next stop is Signal. To get there, we follow the path along the river under Prince's Bridge. You'll see Flinders Street Station on your right and the river on your left. Keep walking past the footbridge on the upper path. Signal is the small brick and glass building at the Les Erdi Plaza. Here we are at Signal. You can stand in the plaza and listen to Chelsea Skains with the City of Melbourne talk about the project that brought this building to life after years of abandonment.
Hi, I'm Chelsea Skains and I'm talking about Signal. The Signal project is a transformation of a derelict central part of the city fabric into a vibrant youth precinct. It is a building which acts as a beacon, emitting a signal of youth art. The Signal site has heritage value as the last remaining Signal switching box in Flinders Street Station. The other two switching boxes previously in the station were demolished in 2000. It is the only building in the station that predates the redevelopment of the station in the early 1900s. Previous to that, all the buildings in the station had been timber construction. Signal was built in 1889, immediately after the Sandridge Rail Bridge, which has now been turned into a pedestrian bridge incorporating sculptures which celebrate Australia's multicultural history. Flinders Street Station is now run on electronic switching and no longer requires signal switching boxes for engineers to manually switch the rail lines. The Signal building still holds a fantastic overview of the rail lines, which was once part of its daily occupation. The City of Melbourne wanted to use the space as efficiently as possible and keep the size of the building similar to the original switching station size. Flexibility and multifunctional spaces were the only way to pack such a full program into such a small space. The concept was a flexible, creative space for young people, a beacon emitting a signal of youth creativity. This became the driving force behind the digital projection screens becoming part of the facade. The building needed to glow out to the city, sending out its new forms of signals, but also allowing the users an overview of the rail yards and its industrial past via switchable glass panels. The building as a whole has been built with this flexibility in mind. all of the spaces allowing many different functions to occur within them. The building provides a stage, a black box theatre, a digital projection skin for After Dark productions, two workshop spaces, a digital media workshop space, and an 18-speaker sound system that extends towards Flinders Station. We kept the design simple and used steel, bolts, glass to expose the industrial heritage of the building. The change from heritage shell to new construction was emphasized with lighting and material choices. The new interventions were illuminated at night with blue light. You'll see this on the upper glass facade as well as steel doors below. Our biggest challenge was keeping the heritage brick shell intact. It had been held together by steel straps when we arrived on the site. The previous timber first floor had done much of the bracing for the building, and we needed to replace this burnt out structure with a specialized steel frame. This frame had to be built into the existing brick walls. So a very careful demolition was required to remove all the burnt debris from the building, with additional steel bracing to ensure the building would not collapse. Sustaining the heritage shell was a difficult process, which has left a legacy to Melbourne of its real history and now youth energy. My favourite heritage element is the restored brick shell, in particular the patina, which we have left exposed on the interior walls. We removed the soot from the fires and all the loose paint, then painted a clear acrylic coat in the reception area over the original brick walls. Bits of the original paint, marks from its working days, and graffiti are still visible on these walls, right beside the new work of young artists.
Continue walking along the river to the first intersection, which is Queensbridge Street, and cross at the lights. Walk under the train bridge, and directly across Flinders Street is the Immigration Museum. Welcome to the Immigration Museum. Entry to the upper levels requires a ticket, but the ground level is accessible. In the Discovery Centre, you will see the original bluestone vaults of the Customs House, completed in 1876. Have a wander around the space and listen to architect Darrell Jackson guide us through the project.
When you get to the old Customs House in Melbourne, its name derives from the fact that this was the pool of Melbourne outside on the Yarra, where the boats used to pull up and the first immigrants arrived. So when the city was founded, this was the Customs House. It's where you declared your values, just as you do when you're going through the airport at present. To become the Immigration Museum, it was thought a fitting sort of match or fit, you know, one century or so later than the original customs requirement, to be able to talk about immigration as a component of Australia's culture. And in that respect, the building, as its title suggested, does have an affinity and a fit with newcomers wanting to come. So the museum really here is about the identity of people coming to Australia and from whence they've come. And therefore the new title, not Customs House but Immigration Museum, is the suggested view, because just about every European Australian family has come from somewhere else at some point. When you go into the building, you will see that it is not changed very much, and it was really in quite good condition and had been looked after by various customs officers and occupants in the past. And it had a really significant entrance foyer, a very strong symbol, and the barrel vaults that you progress to for Discovery Centre or for a coffee lead you through the building to the outside. That's our most significant change, because we've been able to take people to the exterior at the ground floor, which wasn't possible previously. And we wanted to do that in order to be able to have people experience the names that are set up in the courtyard space outside. One of the significant differences between it being a customs house and being a museum is that it's now a public space. It's a civic space. and therefore the theme of people having their names and so on located in the plaza outside is really bringing to bear the sense of, well, where did Grandma come from? The way in which architects have to think about conservation is really of interest to me. The sense is that former buildings with former occupancies can be transformed in ways that, you know, are respectful, in the ways that you have to investigate it, like doing research, and by thinking about how best to bring about the new dimension that's required. You can do this by a transformation of an apposition or an opposite point of view. So when you're sitting inside the dense quality of the barrel vaults, so the lightness of the new veranda on the outside is the contrasting piece, and it's therefore very clearly an addition to the existing building. So it's not trying to compete with the building, it's trying to complement the building, but in a different kind of language. Light versus heavy, solidity versus transparency. So these kind of things bring about a new sense of the presence of the Immigration Museum rather than the barricaded off customs house. The way in which you need to touch an island building such as this has to be carefully done. It's not a street building, it's an island building on three sides and a laneway entrance from the rear. And therefore it has a formidable presence in its own right as a customs house and now as the museum. And so new things that were required, such as air conditioning and other services, are in a separate building, a small pavilion, as it were, in the plaza, and that's the zinc building that you would see sitting in the cafe at the rear. So the conservation architects, Peter Lovell and his team, were very careful about not defacing the building in order to put the exhibitions in place. And we're really largely dealing with smaller objects and smaller artefacts that people will have brought with them, and therefore they can be in display areas that are not super big. We're discussing conservation and intervention in terms of old and new, and therefore the research that we've been doing on the building through the conservation architect is instructing, if you like, the modern architect as to how best to make that intervention and to therefore carry it through in a respectful way. So some of that has to do with scale and proportion, the opposition of light to heavy, as I was discussing previously, but you can see in the access down from Flinders Lane down the new staircase and onto the plaza that the proportioning of the new glass space is connected to the rhythm and form of the Ionic columns that are on the exterior elevation. The interior space didn't have to transform itself. The big ballroom you'll see has a fantastic ship made by Julian Martin's team that sits inside the ballroom. And the ballroom has these classical orders of Victorian architecture replicating Roman and Greek history. But the new ship is really Julian's idea about the transformation of the immigration circumstance itself. Most people in history, in the 19th century at least, all came by ship. And so the idea of the ship is really a compelling image in the centre of the room without having to interfere with any of the architectural qualities and forms of the space. We had to open up the ground floor because it simply had been barricaded off, and with the area around it, as I said before, breaking the building open was the hardest thing to approach. But you will see when you look at it that the arcade rhythm predetermined certain door openings and so on that are in rhythm with the whole facade above. It wasn't like just cutting a tear out of the building and ripping it apart. Wasn't necessary to do that, but the barrel vaults take you through to the doorway and carry you through to the space beyond. All of that interlocks in a way like a language to where you place things in a reasonable way that people might understand.
Our next stop is Goodshed North on Collins Street. To get there, leave the Immigration Museum and turn right into William Street. Walk up to Collins Street passing Flinders Lane. At Collins Street, you can walk or catch a 31, 42 or 48 tram towards the Docklands. Get off at the second stop past Spencer Street. Walk into the black glass box at number 710 Collins Street. This is the entrance to Goodshed North. The shed was constructed in 1889 as number 2 Goodshed and was originally over 385 metres long. From inside this black box you can view the interior of the Goodshed, now occupied by Vic Urban. The exterior of the Goodshed can also be viewed by walking along the streets running on either side of the building. As you walk, listen to architect Callum Fraser talk about the project.
Hi, I'm Callum Fraser from Ellenberg Fraser, talking about the Goodshed in Docklands. The building was a joint venture between Lovell Chen and Ellenberg Fraser, in charge of heritage and new buildings respectively. My job is to give you a brief description about the project, take you for a little tour through the building. If you look across the road to the other side of Collins Street, you'll see the existing shell of the south end of the Goodshed. And then if you trace your eye back to the north, you'll see that the building went from Flinders Street all the way through to Bourke Street. So it was an incredibly long structure, 200 metres long, a very modern structure. This building was the main transport interchange for goods arriving via rail. Initially, when the building was built, the trains would pull into the middle volume and then unload to the side platforms, and goods would come out onto horse and cart and be ferried off into the balance of Melbourne. So it's a major freight distribution centre and always has been. The building is also interesting because it's the scene of one of our first or early, let's call it, industrial disputes. A train was released unmanned from Broadmeadows station and cleared all the way into the city across overland crossings unimpeded, and was diverted away from the suburban lines into the storage yards where the front doors for the Goodshed were completely closed. So the train, if you like, crashes into the north end of the Goodshed, demolishing the first 10 metres of the building and zigzagging snake-like up the train. You can imagine it kind of collapsing over itself. And the whole building kind of shudders with this impact. What happens is the whole building lurches south towards Flinders Street with all of those amazing trusses that you can see sort of racking and springing by up to a metre in the southerly direction. And then once the impact stopped, it recoils and tries to straighten up. So with all the arches and the trusses sort of springing back into the shape, the slates that were on the original roof popped off in like a kind of popcorn display, if you like, a kind of explosion of slate going everywhere. And the building settles into this condition where nothing is straight, nothing is regular, everything is up and down, and the building records, if you like, this kind of amazing experience that it's been subjected to. When our engineers put this building into their model, they were convinced that the building wasn't standing up. So it's not a building that we could repeat in any way. It's an original piece. There are many qualities about the building that we love. We love its length and its kind of what it speaks to in terms of modernism and civilization, and also in terms of identity, a sort of heritage, serious heritage structure that is a very modern building in itself. And we sought to really bring that back to life. Our long-term plan for this building is as a retail arcade, a galleria, if you like, where one can walk down steps or escalators from Collins Street down into the central arcade, off to shops and the side wings, and wander all the way undercover to Bourke Street browsing. Unfortunately, the retail environment in Docklands is not there, won't be there for another 10 years. So our strategy was to preserve the building and bring it back to life as an office building. You're standing in what we would like to call a lantern building, which originally was designed with clear glass and with a kind of hovering roof floating over the top of it, very transparent structure. And the idea of this building is it's a circulation engine that links you from the upper level of Collins Street back down to the ground. And it's a way of providing the shed, which is 7 metres below us, with a front door address. I can't imagine a greater number of indignities that could be foisted upon a building than have been foisted upon this building. You know, first to be cut in half unceremoniously by the Collins Street deck that wipes out its central bays, but then for that level to be about 7 metres above my ground level, so that, if you like, I'm, you know, robbed of a front door. And so this little latter building is very important in terms of bringing the building back to life, giving it a front door and identity, street presence, all the things that normal buildings take for granted that this building's been robbed of. If you have a look down into the sides of the building, you'll see that there's a new mezzanine platform inserted into the side wings, but the central atrium has been kept open. It's so that we can stand at one end of the building and look through the central bays and see continuously from one end to the other, see through all of the structure, all of the trusses with their amazing spidery kind of webby steel members, and get a sense of the modernity and the scale of that place when it was built. Our philosophy with heritage structures is not to mimic or confuse the new additions to the buildings, but to articulate them in complete difference and thereby preserve the integrity and the difference and the amazing nature of the original building. We've tried at all stages in the renovation of the Goodshed to leave what was there intact, to not rebuild it in place with new materials, but to preserve it, to clean it, to polish it, to reservice it so that it might work exactly as it is, which places value on the authentic. We think that the authentic is something that the modern world is really missing. And how we deal with our heritage structures talks a lot about who we are as a community, as a group of people. It's a big challenge to convert a shed into a 5-star Green Star commercial building. The energy rating tool for 5-star Green Star talks a lot about energy consumption. And in that, it looks at envelope. So things with lots of envelope don't work very well. It's a rating tool that's designed for high-rise, multi-floored office buildings. So here we have a building which is all envelope, all surface area, and has a very high ceiling, so we have sort of, it's very difficult to condition the airspace around someone. And we have to be very creative so that we don't use too much energy. This is the first heritage structure to be refurbished to 5-star Green Star levels in the Southern Hemisphere. And we've had to work every part of the ratings tool to make it work. We've focused on an innovative use of air conditioning. It's a displacement air conditioning system that comes from the ground up. And to the mezzanine, there's a chilled beam system that has a radiant cooling source that we pass air over, which is interesting in that when you look across the webs of the trusses through the ceilings, you'll see a series of black tubes, and it looks a little bit like an engineering, you know, oil refinery. What that is a new approach to cooling. It's like a radiator, but it's cold. And we push air across the surface of it that then cools the air around the people. So we have a structure which is beautifully daylit via these lanterns at the top of the building, which has an air conditioning system that comes up from the ground, and that looks to energy use in a completely different way. On top of the lantern building, there's a very big structure that you'll see as you walk around, probably wondering, what is that up there? Why is it so big? You know, just to house a sign? Well, that is an electrical cogeneration plant, which is a big deal and very difficult to insert a cogeneration plant into an existing heritage structure where you can't change any of the fabric with services connections. So we have a high pressure gas line to the roof. We burn that gas to produce electricity for the use of the building. The byproduct of burning the gas is heat. We take that heat, put it through absorption chillers, and take the cool that comes out of the absorption chillers and run it through our chilled beam systems in the mezzanines to cool the air throughout the building. So it's a very innovative way of getting two uses for the electricity that's used in the building and getting free cooling, if you like, for the building, reducing the energy consumption and load of the building, which is forever, by the way. And changing our carbon footprint away from the coal grid to the gas grid. So it's not without challenges that one can convert a heritage structure into an environmentally efficient building. But if we could achieve a 5-star Green Star rating with this shed, which is all envelope and with very difficult to access servicing connections, if we can achieve that here, then it can be achieved anywhere.
We hope you enjoyed the tour. For more information, go to our website, www.dpcd.vic.gov.au/heritage.